Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and today we are doing our Survivor Season 42 fantasy draft. And for the first time in 2 years, we are joined by Vaughn Stewart. We have not had him on since pre-Survivor Winners at War, so there's a lot of catching up to do. Very happy to have him back for the fantasy draft, even though that probably means he's going to win, although we're going to be picking how the points are decided pretty much on the fly tonight. So maybe that will throw Vaughn off and give Alexa and I a little bit of a chance. Vaughn, thanks so much for coming back on. For those who are new, who are you? What are you doing here? And also, how have you felt about Survivor since the beginning of season 40? Because we haven't heard from you at all.
Yeah, well, it is amazing to be here. Thank you all so much for having me back. It feels like, you know, nothing has changed because obviously nothing important has happened in the world since February or March of 2020. I haven't missed anything. So I'm just, you know, walking in completely seamlessly here. So my name is Vaughn. I was introduced to this podcast several years ago because I was, I guess, dumb enough and also like wealthy enough to give like an embarrassing amount of money to
Can I say how much you gave?
Yeah.
He gave $100 to Will and I just to put us on iTunes because he said he was tired of listening to us at regular speed.
There we go. So yeah, I think that I just like basically I was an attorney at the time. I was being paid way too much. I was listening to way too many Survivor podcasts. So I jumped at the opportunity to throw some money at a podcast and appear thereon. So one thing led to another. It turned out that y'all lucked out because I wasn't like a total weirdo and loser. We joked that it was like very risky to give just someone with $100 the opportunity to appear on the podcast because who knows what direction that could have gone in. It turned out that I was like, okay, I guess. Y'all had me back on a few times. I proceeded to mostly dominate these little games that you guys create. I kept coming back because winning is fun and it gives you a high. Y'all kept having me back, I guess, because you're masochistic. And since then, I've gone from like, I think like a relatively cool and hip, like 20-something who like, you know, lived in New York City. To now I'm like old and married. I have a toddler. I have two cars. I have a single family home, which I always thought was the worst possible thing you could end up doing. And also weirdly enough, 3 years ago or 4 years ago now, almost four, I made this crazy decision to run for office and I somehow pulled it off. And so I'm actually weirdly enough, a state legislator in Maryland. So you can Google me and you can look at all my, you know, political stances and votes and all sorts of stuff. And so, you know, that's kind of a weird job, but it has not dampened my love for Survivor. Survivor 41, however, was not a highlight of my Survivor experience, I have to say.
Where is the twist?
The only reason I really stayed glued to it was that I mean, speaking of my ability to predict things well, I actually predicted Erica as my winner pick. And I've got the receipts because I actually was smart enough to text people before the season. So I can prove it. I'm not making this up. And so Erica having a chance to win is basically like the only reason I kept watching the show, because I was like, this was a kind of a shot in the dark winner pick. If I end up being correct, that's going to be great. And so as long as Erica stayed around, I watched, she pulled it off. That again was a bit of a high for me because I enjoy being right. And so that kind of made the season for me. But I can't say that it will go down in history as one of Survivor's best seasons. But that said, it's a new year. It's a new season. I'm back on the podcast and I'm raring to go. I've watched the videos. I've read everything. I'm ready to show y'all how it's done yet again.
Phil, would you like to tell Vaughn about the preparation you've done for tonight and this entire preseason?
Vaughn knows the preparation I've done because he's listened to any of our previous podcasts. I've done none. So on that note, Vaughn, I'm going to go back because normally what will happen is we'll have you on at the beginning of a season and then we'll bring you back like in the middle of the season. Well, in the middle of season 40, there was this thing called COVID-19 that hit. So we never brought you back again because we knew you were a politician and you were probably dealing with some stuff. So I wanted to just ask real quick before we get into 42, did you like the way 40 turned out?
I did. I did like the way 40 turned out. Yeah. I thought I was hooked. That was one of the better seasons, I feel like. I mean, COVID has been a bit of a time warp. So even the ending of 20 feels like it was like 5 or 10 years ago. I can't necessarily remember every detail of how this season ended, but it left me with a warm and fuzzy feeling at the end. So yes, I will say two thumbs up for season 40. And I will say one thumb up for Erica.
And who should have gotten second place on season 40? That's all I want to see, Vaughn. I want to see if you're still a fan. That's all. I think Vaughn came on the podcast. Well, that's actually a good point. Tony should have gotten second. Michelle should have gotten first. But I think Vaughn came on the podcast.
I thought you were going to say Tony was the right answer. Okay.
Right at the peak of Michelle love. So I just had to bring that up one more time. But so we're moving into season 42. We have 18 newbies. We have this weird 26-day stuff, which we still don't think really works. The only things we know, so we're just going to make up the rules as we go because we haven't really kept track in the past couple seasons, and it's time to get back on the train. Vaughn's going to make this a lot of fun for us. All we know is that individual immunity, if you win that, you're going to get 3 points. If you're the winner of the season, you'll get 10. If you quit the game, you're going to lose 10. A correct idle play will be worth 5 points. Every day you survive in the game is half a point. And then we're going to try to come up with five more things kind of as we roll through here and see if there's anything that hits. So if you guys have any ideas and you want to throw them in the chat, throw them in the chat, because there you go. Nicola Host just said the chat isn't too active tonight. Well, let's make it active. We're not going to do MVP or LVP or any of that nonsense anymore. People stopped caring about that. Damian Will stopped reading comments. So question of the night, Vaughn, what's the question of the night? Are we snaking the draft or no? That's the question.
Oh, wow.
For new listeners/viewers, the question of whether you snake the draft or not is really the entire draft. It determines winners and losers. It's everything. Whew, and it's tough. I'm going to say that we've got to snake the draft because I actually think this is a rare season. And I don't necessarily know if y'all's rankings will sort of line up with mine. I think there's a big drop-off this year after, say, 8 or 9 people. I think that there are 8 or 9 people who can win, and then I had a really difficult time ranking. And then I think there are another 9 people who I don't think can win and who I had a really difficult time ranking among the losers. So I think if we don't snake it, I think there are going to be some – I think the third-place person or the person who picks third could potentially get quite screwed.
You know what I think we should do here? And I think this could be fun because, Vaughn, I do agree with what you're saying. If you listen to my bootless game, I just made up some stupid story and I started putting people pretty high that I didn't necessarily think should be high. But I think that something could be fun with this since we're trying to have fun. Look, I'm like Jeff. Haha, we're having fun. Look at me. Fun and fun. Since there is such a drop off, I think that each of us should write down one person who, like, we think has really no chance.
Okay.
And whoever gets that person, like, on their team, and I'm saying, like, if they draft that person, maybe we do it that way, because in the last round, whoever gets the last pick just kind of gets stuck, but I guess they should get it anyway, so never mind. Whoever gets that person gets, like, double points for stuff they do positively. Does that make sense? So, like, for instance, like, Vaughn, if you were, like, Lydia, no chance of winning the game, and you go and you say, Lydia's my person, and then Alexa gets Lydia on her team. Now, you don't have to tell us who it is. You just, like, say, like, ding, 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 here's my person. Like, okay, write it down. Okay. And now Alexa gets double points, and it's called, like, the Vaughn special or something like that.
Okay.
Where, like, now anytime Lydia does something good, Alexa can just be like, ha, Vaughn, that's the person. You're giving me double points because you have this. So what we should all do is put one down, and then this way if there's a duplicate, we just put, like, a second as, like, the tiebreaker one. But as long as nobody else has your number one,
but it's all about number one.
It's all about number one.
Okay.
Alexa, right. You good with this? Did you follow?
No, I'm just saying the Vaughn special sounds like it should be a sandwich, but this also works.
There you go.
It definitely should.
So but two I think people who we feel like good about that other people would feel bad about?
No, it's just somebody that like you're avoiding like the plague, and you would say like if Vaughn is dumb enough to pick this person, if Phil is dumb enough to pick this person, or if they get stuck with them, like they should get.
Well, like, except I think that we have to say that you cannot draft the person you put down unless it is your last
unless forced.
Unless it's literally forced.
I'm just going to like strategically try to double up my picks.
Well, yeah. Okay. So I guess this is, here's the best way to look at this, Alexa. Who's the person that no matter what happens in this draft, you do not want on your team? Like the only way you're taking this person is if you have the first pick and therefore the last pick in the draft. Okay. Who is that person for you?
Okay. I'm done. Okay. Okay. And I rank the second person. I rank my 17 and 18.
Yeah, so just do your 18, Alexa, and then do one as like a just in case.
Got it.
So I'm going to go ahead. I got mine. And then when it happens, when that person gets picked, we'll do this. I think that spices thing. Look at that. We've already spiced it up more than we've ever spiced it up in the past. So.
It's all me. I'm happy to help.
Yeah. All right, cool. I love it. All right. So Vaughn, I like what you said about this. So how are we going to pick who are we doing the draft here? Are we doing like the rocket out? I always lose.
I feel like rocking it is visually pleasing for the audience.
Yeah.
Well, we have to start off with odds or evens, right? Because we have to either throw out one finger or two finger. So that,
that'll
eliminate one person. And then that person gets pushed back. And then the other two rock it out for who's winning. Okay. So make sure your cameras are in view.
We're doing one or two, and
I'll do like 1, 2, 3 shoot just so we can do it at the same time. All right, ready?
Those of you who are listening on Spotify and iTunes.
Yeah, exactly. We'll tell you what happens in the left corner. Okay. 1, 2, 3 shoot. Alexa was super late and she was still wrong. So Alexa, you're picking. Alexa's picking last. All right, Vaughn, so we gotta rock it out. I do rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, cool. You ready?
Yep.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Ha. I'm the winner.
Okay.
All right. So I get to pick first. Okay. So we all have our person written down. I don't like that I'm picking first because none of these people really mean anything to me on like especially this year. And I'm trying to go based on what Vaughn is wearing to see who he's going to pick. But I think those days are long behind him or his props are all hidden.
I've
out
still
of
got
him.
Props. I haven't aged that much.
They're hidden. Okay. So I just don't know where they are, which is bothering me.
Right. They're at my feet.
Okay. So I am trying to kind of think of like, who do I like that isn't just a ridiculous like I've talked about Jonathan and Lindsay, but am I really going to use the first pick in the draft on them? No, I'm going to go ahead. And with my number one, I'm going to take Drea. I like Drea's chances. Mm-hmm. I think Drea's on a good tribe to start. I thought Vaughn was reaching for a prop. I got super excited. I thought he was going to pull out like a wig or something. I was like, woo, I already took Vaughn's number one, but, like Drea on this season. I like her starting tribe. I don't know. I just think like being physical on like a shorter season can work in your favor. We saw it kind of helping for a lot of people last year, but, Vaughn, I'm curious to hear, do you like Drea or no?
I'm down on Drea. I'm out. I have her at 14 on my list. Nice. So,
I thought you were going to say down with you.
I'm down on her. So, I mean, first of all, and this is kind of like a spoiler, so I'm going to help y'all out here. You know, one trick to my success here, actually, like spoiler alert, is that y'all all have to rank your boot list in the boot list game before we do this every time, which means I get to see who y'all like and who you don't like before you get to see it for me, which is a huge advantage. So while I course actually win because of my enormous brain power, I think that the strategery angle here of me going second is a huge advantage. So I'm going to try to throw y'all a couple bones here, make it interesting, and let you in on my thinking kind of in real time. So Drea, I think, is on the worst tribe. I know that y'all talked about the other tribe, the yellow tribe? No, the green tribe.
The green tribe.
Being the worst. I actually think that the least physical tribe is this blue Ika tribe. Mm-hmm. And I think that obviously Drea is going to be the beast on the tribe physically. So I don't necessarily see her as like a first boot, but I'm just getting a little, first of all, I'm getting kind of an old school vibe from her. You know, she talks a lot about like Wentworth, and she talks a lot about being physical and challenges. She at one point said that she liked Wentworth's ability to quote unquote, be a competitor in the competitions. Which is like, okay, like
that's important to know, Vaughn. Where else was she a competitor?
She's not a wordsmith per se. you know, her pet peeve was dishonesty. And it's kind of like, you may have picked the wrong game if that's your pet peeve. And then here's the last thing. And this is just like, I think as with age, I mean, one thing tonight, I think one difference between this version of me and some of the earlier versions, I've just gotten pettier. And so when people say something that I just personally dislike, I think I'm more willing to hold it against them than I have been in the past. I'm more irrational. So in this case, Drea ends one of her interviews by saying that she loves Gwyneth Paltrow. Who's, you know, great. I've enjoyed her, you know, performance in a variety of big movies and TV shows. However, this love stems from some sort of wellness lifestyle brand that I was previously unfamiliar with, that y'all may know about.
Goop.
Okay.
So I knew that. Yep.
Maybe I'm showing my advanced age. I did not know about Goop. I clicked on it. I saw some of the products that Drea has on there. They're pretty wacky. You know, my birthday is not coming up, but if anyone wants to get me some of this, that's enema she has and some of these other things, hit me up. You know, I'll send you my address.
Goop is something else.
Okay. Yeah. It's a lot for me. It's not really my brand of a brand. And so I'm holding that against Drea and Gwyneth Paltrow. And that's why I dragged her down to 14. But I think just generally, she kind of just gave me not very much. These kind of brief and generic answers. I think she's going to be a beast. I don't really see her as like a strategic mastermind. She says that she wants to be Kim Spradlin. I think maybe she has the Spradlin physicality, but not really much else. So I see her as maybe like a late pre-merger.
I was big on her because I really didn't listen to any of these people speak. Haven't heard any of their voices. I'm really high on Drea. Vaughn, I have to ask, do you like Shakespeare in Love or no?
No, I'm down on Shakespeare in Love as well.
This is why I can't trust you. Shakespeare in Love. John and I just did a podcast about how much I love Shakespeare in Love. So if anybody wants to check that out, there's my shameless plug. And Vaughn doesn't know what he's talking about. all right, Vaughn. So who are you taking then at number two?
Okay. Well, here's where I pull out my first prop. Ready? Well, first let me explain. So I'm going to take, someone who I think it's a little bit of a risky move, but again, trying to throw you all a bone because I think that I could probably get away with taking this person with my second pick. I don't think that y'all are going to take them, but I have a prop for the person, right? So I can't leave it up to chance because then one of the props is out the window. So with my first pick, the second pick overall, I'm going to be taking Omar, the 31-year-old veterinarian from Ontario, for a few reasons. Number one, I got pretty fortunate. I had a lot of good luck picking a Canadian last year. So I'm just doubling down and trying to go double Canadian.
As you go against Drea.
Well, yeah, true. just got to pick one. But more substantively, I like this guy. Like, I think he puts a lot of primacy on social awareness. I think that, you know, as a veterinarian, he talks about how he deals with people in a variety of different emotional states, which is interesting. Everyone likes animals. I also think, you know, one of my recurring themes here is the delta, but the difference between someone's actual threat level, like how good are they likely to be and what is their perceived threat level by the people on the cast. And a lot of times the people who win have the biggest gulf. And I think Erica is a good example. She's not someone who necessarily, as she said multiple times with her lamb and lion analogies, was not someone who necessarily looked super threatening, but she was actually quite a good player underneath. I see similar upside with Omar. He's not someone who is super physically imposing, but I don't necessarily think he's going to be a challenge liability. I think that he's got like a lot of social awareness and smarts, but it's not necessarily overly smart. And then the real sealing the deal here of why I'm picking him is that he uses some really awesome bird analogies. And so that's why is my son's Halloween costume. From this year. His Thanksgiving costume. He dresses up for all the holidays.
How do I make you bigger?
So what Omar said.
I'm trying to make Vaughn bigger and it won't let me.
Okay. Yeah. So Omar said at one point that he wants to pretend to be a pigeon, but actually be a predatory bird. He called this his owl strategy. And he said he wants to basically be like an unthreatening bird, like a pigeon or like a turkey, but secretly be an owl. And I think this is actually kind of like him giving a perfect encapsulation of my delta theory that is, you know, I've used so successfully for so many years. So I think because number one, he's from Canada. Number two, he's got a good head on his shoulders about how you win the game. And number three, he said something that I could pigeonhole into a costume that I already had in the house.
And you just used the word pickleball.
There you go. Yes. And you just made a pun that I don't even think you realize you made.
Okay. Well, I mean, I probably did.
But yeah. Pigeonhole. You said
pigeonhole. Ah, there we go.
Yeah, you didn't even notice.
I will say, I think the downside. The downside of Omar. Everybody's got a downside, right? He does come across a bit cocky.
That's what I'm worried about with him.
That pun was intended.
There we go again.
He talks about like at one point, like the selectivity rate of the vet school he went to, which is kind of like comes across as like a bit braggy. Mm-hmm. And I think he does have some downside because, you know, even though I think he's on a pretty strong tribe, he talks about not really being able to swim very well. So he does maybe have a little bit of a low floor in terms of an early boot. But overall, I like his chances. I like the fact that he used something that I could dress up as. and I'm happy that he's on my fantasy team.
That's all he wanted, Alexa. That's all he wanted. And now you open the door for Alexa to take herself, which, you know, is never fun. But no, I'm mixed on Omar. I really am. It's gonna really depend how that tribe works out for him right away. I think that tribe itself is just a strange tribe, strange starting tribe that I think is gonna lead to some problems for one side or the other. It's just, is he gonna be on the right side of it? So, Alexa, you're picking back to back because we were forced to snake the draft. Who you got?
I forced no one to snake the draft. I think it was actually a democratically selected process. I hope one keeps that hat on the entire time because I was watching him just nod.
I won't, but I'm feeling myself a little bit, so I'm going to keep it on a little bit longer than anticipated.
I pick back to back. I am not picking Chanel first. I'm going to pick Zach first. And I, in true Vaughn fashion, what I did is I just cuffed my shirt so it looks like a three-quarter sleeve, which is the only thing that we've seen Zach wear so far. So that is my representation of Zach. So I think Zach is going to I'm trying to pick a little differently this year because I'm historically pretty bad at this. I'm trying to pick people who are going to hit all of the things, especially now that there are going to be a lot of extra points. I said this last night. I think that Zach is going to do a lot in this game. I think the fans are going to love him. I think the fans are also going to not love him. He's going to play very hard. He's going to be funny. I see a narrator in him. So I think he's going to last a long time, but I think he's also quite self-aware. I think somebody who does stand up and debate, like there's typically a lot of self-awareness. There's a lot of ability to argue and think on your feet, all of which are very, very important qualities to have on Survivor.
That could go one of two ways. You know, Alexa, you live in the mecca of stand-up, which is New York City. I lived in the second mecca, which is stand-up, in L.A. There's a lot of comedians who don't have self-awareness at all. And they just show up and they start saying things. And you're like, woof, okay, I guess I'm in this for the long haul now. I feel like there's got to be something fun that we could do with Zach because he does feel like such a type that, like, maybe we could do something with props here. But we have to figure not props, but you know what I'm saying for this fantasy game. Vaughn, what do you think about Zach?
So I'm low on Zach as well, but I'm loving the fact that we disagree. So I know that Zach is a fan of the podcast and maybe even tunes in. So I definitely don't want to be mean.
Oh, trash.
Especially in that hat.
Yeah, well, especially in this hat, right? I mean, you can't be mean when you're wearing a turkey hat. But I'm a little pessimistic on Zach for a few reasons. So first of all, just the odds are not in the favor of people who are below 25 on the show, just period. If you're just playing the odds and you're trying to make this a numerical game about age, the odds are not in his favor. Now, young guys, you know, as we saw last year with Xander, they're not always doomed, but you start out with a little bit of lower probability to win. I do like that, you know, he mentioned that he doesn't like people who don't tip. I thought that was kind of like a cool and like a little bit like old for his age type answer. And of course he was a pizza delivery guy, which I also thought was interesting and probably gives them a little bit more perspective. I think with these young people, you're looking at not just the number, but also do they have life experience more than just their age? Are they an old soul? And I think there are a few people that are on this cast that are young, but maybe older at heart. And I think that gives them a better case. With Zach, it's hard to tell exactly where he is because, you know, on the one hand, I like that he did the debate. I did debate in high school too. I mean, I can assure you that even though it does help you think on your feet and talk, there were a lot of really unself-aware, weird kids in debate as well. So it's not a whole total slam dunk. That said, I was good enough at debate to know what the Tournament of Champions was, which apparently he won. It's called TOC, is I think like the debate lingo, like the acronym. And it's actually very impressive to win that. So it's not just that he is like a run-of-the-mill debater, like that he's like really, really good.
Does that make him like a super weird debater though, or a very
probably cool debater? That's my fear, right? I feel like if you're that good at anything, there's probably like a super weirdness angle. Like, and I also think he's not going to be helped by the fact that he gives off some Adam Klein vibes. Now, obviously he's younger, but Adam was on a season where half the cast was his age, which he benefited from. That's not going to be an advantage that Zach can count on. I also think that he's just going to come across as a little bit more threatening because of the Adam Klein comparison. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I just don't know how much life experience other than the pizza delivery he has that's not within the context of Survivor. It seems like his entire bio is his passion for Survivor, and it seems like it weaves into every part of his life. And then lastly, I don't know, I think he's got a little bit of youthful bravado with some of the ways he describes himself. You know, like he said, he's extremely personable and super intelligent and strategic. Yeah. And that's probably true. And honestly, it's the kind of things that I would have said about myself if I went on the show when I was 22. So I am not at all faulting him. You know, if he's watching, I mean, you go. But it just makes me worry a little bit about his lack of perspective. Can he really relate to the older people on the tribe? Is he old at heart or young at heart? So I'm a little bit lower on Zach, but he is really fun and likable. And so even though he's not on my team, and even though I'm predicting doom and gloom, I do hope he does well.
Are you trying to tell us that if you went on Survivor present day, you would not speak to yourself being incredibly intelligent and relatable?
Well, I say that on the podcast as I wear a turkey hat, but I would like to think I would have a little bit more self-awareness. Because I mean, you know, the show is very good. Like at the moment you're like giving confessionals saying how amazing you are and how you're controlling the game, that's when you start going downhill. So I feel like I would hopefully maybe be a little bit more aware. But yeah, you're right. I mean, even though I've got a decade of experience on Zach, I probably would be engaging in a little bit of braggadociousness as well.
From the debate club, I'm telling you.
He's much better than I was, though.
I gotta look up this tournament of champions.
Yeah, I know.
It's legit. Yeah, but I think maybe his we could give Alexa and Adam a point, or we could give anyone a point, himself included, if they compare him to Adam Klein.
Ooh.
If anyone brings up Adam Klein in relation to Zach,
that's fine.
That person, the utterer of the phrase of the name.
Love it.
Okay.
I'm writing Adam Klein equals Zach. 1 point.
Yep.
Then I called it times two for the cursed player. Also, though, that means for the cursed player, if that person quits, you get times two for them quitting. So that's negative 20, right? We're doing that. We going all in on that?
I feel like you could. If the person you're predicting does bad, then quits, then that actually should reflect well on you.
No, it does reflect well on you because you're not the one who picked them.
Oh, right, right.
Okay, you know, it's like, you know, I little do you guys know that's that I have fair. Zach okay, as okay. my person here. So Alexa would get negative 20 on that. So Alexa goes Zach on number one. I like that, though, Vaughn. So Alexa, who you got as your number two?
For somebody who's also, I'm now picking, I think Zach's going to do a lot. I'm now picking for longevity. I have Roxroy as my second pick. I think that there's going to be nothing exciting that he does. And I think with that, Phil, what the heck? With that, he's going to have no reason to get voted out. He is. Phil, you need to learn how to write better.
There it is. But I'm never going to learn.
That was Phil's never pick.
So that's Alexa's cursed player. I'm going to highlight that one in blue.
That's my. Ooh, blue. Not red. Well, I guess red is if you go home.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think there's any chance he has of winning. I don't think there's anything particularly exciting or interesting about what he has given us. And I think that is why he is going to last long. He is a man who is built well, so he's going to survive the pre-merge. A lot of people are going to look for reasons to get rid of people who aren't as built as him early on because they just think that automatically means they're good at challenges. He'll probably be quite good. I think he'll be around for mid-jury time.
What do you got for me, Vaughn?
It's hard to argue with that. I mean, I think that I will not quibble with the description of Roxroy. I agree that he is going to be a point accumulator in this league. I think he could last a while. Why would you get rid of him? He didn't give me anything in his interview. Couldn't have been more cliched or boring, But I do think he probably will put up some points. That said, if I had to criticize the pick, I would say it's a little early with the fourth pick overall to go with a point accumulator when you've still got some win equity people on the board. I think Alexa probably could have waited until her third or fourth pick, still gotten Rox Roy to serve that role on her squad.
I got to say here, so I went with Rox Roy as my cursed player, and here's my reason why. I see zero times out of 1,000 that he wins this game. The vibes I do get from Rox Roy are essentially like Mick Trimming. Like, that's what I've gotten. And
Mick Trimming gets a lot of longevity points.
A lot of longevity points, which is fine. But Mick Trimming, I'm pretty sure, won one immunity and everything else was longevity points, which in this season is 26. You're going to get 13 points times two. That puts you at 26 and maybe an immunity. So you get 32 points. That's a good amount. But for somebody who's going all the way to the end of the game, it's not that many. It's not like an overwhelming amount. If we were doing MVP, I don't think he's going to be doing that. I don't have him with the correct idle play. I'm not even so much down on Rox Roy because of anything that he's necessarily done. It's just his answers were nothing. And when I see nothing answers with a guy in this age range that doesn't seem to have the strongest personality, how does that person win? Men don't win the game by having small personalities. It never happens. Women normally do win the game when their personalities are smaller because then they're not seen as confrontational, whatever gender bias you want to throw in here. But a man like Rox Roy, I don't think we've ever seen win the game of Survivor. And therefore,
I'm not saying he's winning.
That's why he was my, all I'm saying is that's why he was my cursed pick. And I also do think that if Vaughn is right, which he never is, and this Ika tribe is in trouble early on, I think Rox Roy is going to be one of the first people to go from it. I really do. I think Swati might be in there, but I think Rox Roy is in a lot of trouble if that tribe starts to go down, because who is he going to connect with? He reminds me, he could even remind me a little bit of Ibrahim, where Ibrahim was really strong and they kept him around. But ultimately, when the time came, which was very late for him, they had to cut him because he didn't have the connection with Bobby John or with Stephanie that he needed in order to go that one spot further in the game, where then he would have made the merge, most likely.
Mm-hmm. Vaughn, back to you.
Okay, well, you know, this is tricky. Well, first of all, I have to take off because I'm picking someone new. I have to take this off. Sorry, guys. But this is a tricky one because I had guessed that y'all were going to make picks that you didn't make. So I'm in an interesting situation where my number two, number three, number four, number five, et cetera, picks are all on the board for me. But I think I might drop down a little bit strategically here and pick someone who I think Phil is likely to pick and who will not come back to me and risk maybe having an opportunity at a two or three on my way back. So I'm going to try to
7 foot four.
What's up?
Is he 7 foot four?
No, he's not. He's not. I'm not going to, it's a little too early for him, but I'm going to take Lindsay here.
No, that was the one I actually wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's we're what too I think. Obvious with our favorites.
Yeah. So I'm going to take Lindsay here. I really thought that Phil was going to take her first. So I kind of dropped her down my ranking to someone who I didn't think would be available. She's got sort of, I think, high ceiling, low floor, right? I mean, she could come out of the gates being a little bit too Jersey and brash and in your face. She compares herself to Steph LaGrosse, so she could probably be more of a Guatemala brash version of Steph. She could also be a short-lived heroes versus villain version of Steph. I think she's probably going to settle into more of a Palau version of Steph, where she finishes about 6th or 7th, but in a way that's relatively likable. But so I don't necessarily think that she's going to be a complete in-gamer, but I'm trying to play a little bit strategically here with my board. I like that she's extremely authentic. She's unapologetically herself. Her career involves counseling people as a dietitian and creating rapport. She understands the game is all about social skills. I obviously do worry that, you know, she might not mesh with everyone. She might be a little bit too much. But I think she's a nice second place pick as someone who I think has winner upside and not a ton of downside. And also, and it's fun to take Phil's favorite people right before he can pick.
It is. And I actually think it's interesting that you picked Lindsay, but this just shows why Vaughn is the king prognosticator here, because he knew.
What a word.
He can see through it all and see that, yeah, she's got the Jersey brashness. But actually, if you think about it, people from Jersey do very well on this show.
Great track record.
Especially the brash ones.
Yep.
Natalie Anderson is a pain. Tony Vlachos is a pain. Stephanie LaGrosa is a pain. They all made it very, very, very far on their seasons. I don't think Judd was living in Jersey at the time, but he might have even been living in Jersey at the time. And he's a pain. Like, these are – like, they're loud. They're in your face. But Tony won the game twice with that personality. Not Natalie Anderson won the game in a season where she was screaming at somebody not even on her tribe. And granted, I understand what that was about. But she was still screaming at somebody not on her tribe. Normally, that's not a good look for the rest of your tribe. She won that season anyway. So I kind of like this. Ultimately, honestly, Vaughn wasn't even going to take Lindsay here. I've just been playing the field here a little bit, and I wasn't even going to take her next.
Blindside.
It is a blindside. But I feel like there's something fun that we could probably do with Lindsay as well, just because I feel like Lindsay is going to be a focal point of the season. I don't know how we do this or what we can do, but I feel like people are going to be very annoyed towards Lindsay. But how do you actually put that into a point value? I have no idea. I just keep thinking of Tiffany saying, I hate her with that.
What about every person who rolls an eye when Lindsay talks?
Oh, no. But then is that too much to track?
Yeah. Every time, every person that Lindsay insults gets a point. Ooh. And every person who insults Lindsay gets a point.
Okay.
Too many points?
Well, where does Lindsay get points in this?
Also, where is insulting? I feel like that could be.
Lindsay gets a point every time. I mean, no. Good for me.
Good for you. I don't like this one anymore. Well, it would have to be like calls them a name. Like, it would have to be something like, is the stupidest person on earth. Like, it has to be like a very blatant insult, not just like a, they're slowing me down.
That's true.
Because then it starts to toe that line.
Yeah, if it's a quotable insult, but that's, then it's like subjective.
Lindsay gets in a tiff with someone.
But yeah, every fight she gets in, she gets a point, and the person she gets in a fight with gets a point.
I think that gives you a lot of points. I feel like it would have to be like everybody she gets in a fight with gets the point. You get half a point per fight.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Does that work?
I'll accept that.
Lindsay fight, half point.
Or how about this? How about we say every time she gets in a fight, whoever gets the better of the argument gets a point.
I was going to say, and then that also leads to the whole editors are determining who wins.
That's true.
Then,
okay. All right. Let's stick with half a point point, half a point point.
Yep. So Lindsay fight 0.5, fight with Lindsay 1 point. That's good. That's good. And you know, we'll know what fighting looks like when we get into the science of all of this. It's like a Rodney Lindsay thing, right? We're looking at like, that is a fight. Not like a physical, I mean, physical altercations are great, but getting in a fight, if they
physical
did that.
Physical altercations, 20 points.
If they did the Rob Zabaniak or whatever, Clay Jordan challenge, she doesn't get a point for choking somebody because that's the challenge. It's got to be like a fight.
I agree.
All right. So I am going to, with my next two very scientific picks, very, very, very well thought out in the grand scheme of all of this, I am going to take Jonathan, my man. Super excited to have Jonathan, even if nobody else is happy about it.
Wait. Jonathan.
That's your person?
My curse pick.
Oh. Nice. I'll take those points. He's going to win 10 individual. He's about to break all the records. Wow. Alexa and I going in the second round.
No chance. He's not making it.
Nothing from Alexa. Vaughn, what do you think about Jonathan? Is this a stupid pick? Do I deserve to get double points?
I like Jonathan, and he is actually my second of two props because I am wearing my Alabama t-shirt tonight.
There you go.
Jonathan grew up about 10 miles from my hometown, and while we went in different directions, including with the size of our bodies, he is someone who I think exemplifies that, you know, Southern charm. I think he's obviously got the physicality. He's going to be a huge asset for his tribe. But at the same time, I think he's got a little bit more going on upstairs than a lot of the characters in this archetype. I think he's not going to be Devin Pinto level of strategery mixed with physical upside for sure. Because, I mean, for example, he talks about how he wants to set records with the number of immunity challenges he wins, which is not a good strategy. So he's not necessarily a thinker. But I do think that he's got enough of a head on his shoulders to not be like a complete just along for the ride vote and not to be someone who's just completely easy pickings as the merge boot. But I think he's a good pick here in the, I guess, the beginning of the third round because I think his floor is the merge boot, right? Mm-hmm. So then anything you get higher than that is just gravy, but he's at least going to be that for you, which means that like his median performance is probably going to be like, seventh or eighth place. He could easily be kind of a Danny McRae type, very likable, not at all a strategic dullard, a little bit more of a follower than a leader with strategy, but I like him a lot. I like that he's from Alabama. We finally have another Alabama person back on the show. Roll Tide. I will be rooting for Jonathan despite the fact that he's not on my team.
The reason that I like Jonathan too, and this is honestly, I haven't said this really much on any of the podcasts, but I like him because he's a salesman. And at the end of the day, like if you own one of those little like beachside, like rental shops, you have to be social. You have to be like, you don't have a joke because they'll just go, there's probably a million of them on the Floribama shore where he is. Like there's millions. So he has to be somewhat good at what he's doing. I like it. I'm so in on Jonathan. I was really hoping, honestly, I didn't think that anybody was going to take Lindsay. So I was hoping to get Lindsay in like round like five and just take Jonathan and have Jonathan, Lindsay, and Drea, which really are kind of like the three people that I kind of just think are going to be the most fun on this season. But with my third round pick, so this one's tough for me. I'm going to – oh, man, it's so hard. But I am going to take Mike. I like Mike. I'm curious to hear what Vaughn is going to say about Mike. I really actually like Mike's starting tribe for him. I feel like, Vaughn, when you were talking about the older souls type thing, I think he did get put on a tribe with older souls, and he's old. So I think that really works in his favor. I think Lydia, probably an easy first target on that tribe, just from initial take. If you only have one day with these people, just seems to be how the tribes go. I know last season, like we were saying that about some of the people, but Abraham was the first person voted out of the game. A lot of men went out early, but I also think you had somebody like Evie who was really trying to play the game in a different way than we've seen a lot of people play now, or most of the time. So I think she was able to kind of change the game there, but I like Mike. I think Mike has a good personality, short answers like Roxroy, but entertaining.
My guess is that Vaughn is not going to be into Mike.
Yeah. So Alexa is correct. So, you know, this is like one of the classic Phil picks, by the way. And actually, I think what gives me a lot of comfort is knowing that I can not come on the podcast for 2 years and that y'all still have like the same types you've always had. And this is the kind of archetype that Phil always falls for. Now, I do think the nice thing about, so I have Mike at 11 and I have him kind of in the middle part, basically his kind of expected value here, because this kind of person, like Tom Laidlaw, Eric Abraham type age.
I did not like Eric Abraham, I have to say.
Well, touche. Okay. Yeah. But I think this kind of person who's going to have a little bit of an old school mentality, who's worried they won't be able to shut up and is kind of like a baby, you know, baby boomer type vibe. They're either like top five because they're dragged along as a reliable alliance member and they're loyal, or they're bottom five and they go out early because they don't necessarily mesh with their starting tribe. I agree that he got put on a good starting tribe. I'm not necessarily willing to predict him as someone who's going to go out early. I think that, you know, he has Tony upside, which very few people on the show have as a, you know, obviously a former firefighter / you know, cop public service employee from Jersey. He's got that kind of vibe. I think he's got a little bit less strategically, you know, going on upstairs at some of the other characters we've seen in this archetype, but I could comfortably see him being, you know, late pre-merge at worst, and maybe mid-merge upside in sort of most outcomes. If we took 100 outcomes, I feel like, you know, and probably 75 of those outcomes, he's going to make the merge. So I don't hate the pick. I think for the third round, it's probably, you know, a decent pick, but I definitely don't see him winning the game.
You have to remember, too, there's going to be four more people picked before I get back here. I don't really care who I get on the backside of this. So my thing with Mike, though, I think that works in his favor. When you're a firefighter, and like, that's your profession. You're not a volunteer firefighter. You're a real firefighter. Like, this is what you do. You are constantly surrounded by people of different ages. Like, you're going to be with people who are younger, who are just becoming firefighters. You're with people who are middle-aged and are now like just doing it. You're with people who are getting ready to retire. Like, that is a career that people get into at various ages, but you're constantly communicating with them. There's like a respect thing that goes into that. I think that that is going to help him immensely with some of the people on this tribe. Like Tom Laidlaw, when he played hockey, yeah, that's a cool profession and all that. But at the end of the day, he's talking to the people his age when he's playing hockey. This is different. Like, this is a guy who's in a very physical profession, a profession where you're sleeping at the firehouse. Like, you're doing these things that, you know, they're having three sleepovers a week because they I think they do the 4-on-3 or the 3-on-4-off or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So, like, there's a lot that goes into the firefighter thing that I think is really going to benefit him. It's going to make him used to being around people at all times, whether he's happy, annoyed, sad, frustrated. I think that's really going to work in his favor on this season. I didn't convince Vaughn of anything, so now he's got his third pick.
Okay, fair. Well, I'm going to throw Alexa a bone here. I'm not going to take Chanel.
Good, you're smart for that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm not going to take Chanel. I'm going to let Alexa have her. I'm not going to pull the same move I did in the last one. This time, I'm actually going to go ahead and take my second pick here, and that is Hai, the 29-year-old data scientist from Vietnam, Atlanta, and New Orleans.
Great.
So he compares himself to Aubrey. He talks about, you know, keeping his threat level down by keeping shields around. He obviously has this amazing story. I think he can come across as very non-threatening. I appreciate his love for Natalie Anderson, by the way, who I think y'all have always slept on a little bit, but he said that she, quote unquote, played the best winning game of our modern era.
I like her. Phil's
okay.
I like Natalie Anderson. I just don't like Sam Wandel, sir. I don't think it took, I think it's, you know, it's a hard season to win. Any Survivor season is, but I just think that season as a whole is very random.
I also like that he calls out A Confederacy of Dunces, which is actually my favorite novel. Mm. He mentions Ignatius Riley from A Confederacy of Dunces, which I'm into. He does say that, you know, he recognizes that active listening is a problem that he may need to work on. I also think that he's not my winner pick because he might be a little bit too obvious. I feel like he kind of has that almost like Ricard vibe of being just like too obviously good at playing Survivor. And I also think that if he makes it to like the final five or six, his amazing story of surviving poverty could be weaponized against him. It's not the kind of story that anyone can hide. He's obviously going to be telling people about his background. And I think it's the kind of story that can win someone $1 million at the jury vote. And so I'm worried that he's going to be late in merge fodder, but I think he's going to be able to accumulate a lot of points because I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where he goes out early.
High's tough for me. I'm having a hard time figuring out where to put High, and I feel like Alexa was similar with that. I haven't had a strong feel one way or the other on him. Third round seems right to me. I actually thought about him over Mike, but I needed at least one Jersey person since you stole the other. So, yeah, I could see High winning it. I could also see High kind of just not getting his footing. I think it could go either way for him for sure.
I think High has a lot of the like a lot of the game intelligence and the social intelligence. I think the problem is that a lot of time, and this isn't his problem, I think it's a problem with Survivor in general, is that now everyone is a super fan. And a lot of times as a fan, I'm conditioned to be like, ooh, super fans aren't going to do well. But everyone who plays is a super fan now, so that's really not like applicable anymore. Mm-hmm. Vaughn, I think that's very kind of you because I am going to pick Chanel. I actually should save Chanel for my fourth pick, but I will take Chanel for my third pick. She is me, so obvious. I hope she likes me because she would be very insulted if she was listening to all of our podcasts where I'm gushing over her because I think she's me and she doesn't think
I'm. That would suck.
Upsetting for all parties. Mm-hmm. I think she is cooler than me. I also typically don't factor this in to any time I pick someone in fantasy, but Ricard posted all over the internet that he was on Survivor. I feel like if you're going to make it pretty far, you're going to be pretty confident. Chanel is all up on the internet. Mm-hmm. She also, I mean, if I was on Survivor, I'd probably blast it to the whole world too, but I want to add that as a reason. Vaughn, tell us why Chanel is going to get 18th place.
I had Chanel very high. I just let you have her. I think Chanel was basically like designed in a lab to be good at the game. You know, she's like a super fan. Her actual job, as Alexa, as you know, is basically building relationships. So she has this background in recruiting and in like social intelligence. She's cognizant of like the difficult line women have to walk on the show of being really strategic without it being construed negatively. She's even says things in her interviews like she's been to the depths of Reddit. So, I mean, she is with it. Like, I feel like the only thing negative you can say about her is that she's almost too obvious. She's even more obvious than high. Her bio just slaps you in the face with such obvious winner upside that you can't imagine that someone being on an island with her for a couple of weeks wouldn't also start picking that up immediately. So I think she might be seen as an obvious threat. I think that she gives off a little bit of a game body vibe. I think she could potentially be seen as a bit of a know-it-all at times, unless she's able to sort of, as she's planning to do, kind of keep that part of herself within her. But that's all. And I think she might be able to pull that off to sort of hide that part of herself. But that's all you can really say, is that she's almost too perfect and too good. But I have a really hard time imagining her not going far.
Did you listen to the Bootless podcast?
I did, yes.
So you're saying my reasoning wasn't 100% sound for her to get 18th place.
Well, I mean, I could tell that you put a lot of thought into it.
I did. I really thought hard. I was like, man, who's Alexa going to love the most? I'm going to put them at 18. And then I did.
I'm look so at what happened. With
Alexa put her at number one. Not that I'm not predictable, as Vaughn's over here taking Lindsay because he thinks that I'm going to take her. So
Mike was designed in a lab for Phil to enjoy.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Sure. I'm telling you, Mike Turner, I've going further than Chanel. There you go. You heard it here first. It's going to happen. Alexa, you got another pick. Who's your fourth rounder that's technically still a third rounder, but who cares?
My third/fourth rounder for my second choice is Jackson. And I feel like none of you were probably going to pick him. So I guess actually I'm playing the game incorrectly. But I like Jackson because I see nothing inoffensive. I think like every bit of Jackson's content has been like neutral to positive, upbeat, loves animals. So maybe Jackson and Omar can have a thing with animals. But I just see like very good energy, teddy bear. I think, again, that could be a winner, but also is somebody who I don't think anybody is going to be targeting particularly early.
So I'm quite low on Jackson, and I will actually reveal, without revealing who my number one is, he was my backup ultimate loser pick. But not my number one, my number two. So I have him at 17. I love the guy. I mean, he's super likable. A really powerful story to transition at age 40 from a Southern Baptist high school. He wants to play like Elaine. I can see the sort of Elaine vibes. I also made a huge error with Elaine. I believe I had her ranked like 14 or 15 on the boot list with y'all. And then she went on to obviously go really, really deep. But I worry that he's just too much of a sweetheart. You know, he's too likable. He's too old school. You have to have, at this point in Survivor's history, you have to have a little bit more of an edge and a little bit more of a cutthroat nature to you, a little bit more of a killer instinct. I worry that he could, if that yellow tribe loses, that he could really be on the chopping block first. Mm-hmm. So I do think he has very, very, very a low floor of early boot potential, but I will be rooting for him.
Yeah.
Certainly, I would love to see him last a really long time. He seems awesome. I just don't know if he has the stabbing potential that you need to survive in this game.
That's kind of how I feel too. I actually almost thought about taking Jackson at three, and then I was like, well, if he's there at 4 or 5, I'll take him there. Yeah. I'm not as low as Vaughn is, but I do agree that like for some reason I'm just not like, woo, here we go. Like, can't wait. This is like your winner. Like, I don't know. I agree with Vaughn. Where's the color
instinct?
Yeah. It's going to be a big one.
I also just think he has a weird place on that tribe too. I just don't, I have a hard time sort of seeing who he meshes with, who's his person on that tribe. Because I mean, Phil, as you've said multiple times, you know, it's easy to see maybe a Jonathan Lindsay combo. I think you could see an Omar Marianne combo. I just don't know where he falls. And so I worry, I think if he can survive the first few votes, why would you get rid of him? Right.
I worry. You know how I see that tribe kind of going is Jackson and Mariah team up and they're left on the outside of the other four.
I could very easily
see that happening. And that's my biggest concern because I also like Mariah, but that's kind of how I could see that tribe going. But then again, they could all team up against Lindsay and Jonathan, but I do think there's going to be a world of pairs going on over there. And I think they're going to be very distinct pairs. But are Mariah and Jackson only going to pair up because they don't have another choice? Almost like Katrina and Chrissy.
Yeah.
Right.
Chrissy almost won the game. Katrina almost was on the show. So, all right, Vaughn, who's your fourth pick?
This is some more strategery for me because there's still someone left who I have pretty high, but I do not think that Phil is going to pick her. So I'm going to pick the next person on my list who I think Phil could pick, and that is Tori, the 25-year-old therapist for Arkansas, from Arkansas. So I'm kind of a sucker. We all have types. I'm really a sucker for people that have these sort of counselor therapist type skills. Mm-hmm. I just think it works well. I mean, since the Philippines, I guess, I've just always thought that the best profession you can have on the show is like a counselor or a therapist. Mm-hmm. That's the upside I see with Omar a little bit, because I think veterinarians have to be counselors to some degree for the owners of the pets. And it's also the upside I see in Lindsay being a dietitian. But in this case, Tori really is like a psychoanalyst. On mm-hmm. all of her interviews, her entire thing is psychoanalysis. It's all about human behavior. It's all about manipulating people. And she comes in a nice, sweet, and, you know, friendly Southern Belle package. She even has like a weird strategy called the T strategy. And the E is like extrapolate and something. But she hasn't told us what the other letters are. So I'm curious to see what that is. But I do think she has obvious downsides, which is why she's the fourth round pick. You know, I'm worried that she's a little bit too young. I mean, I think 25 is right below the age cutoff of people who tend to do really well. I'm not so sure about this background of like competing in pageants, though. I do think it's really funny that she's on the same tribe as Romeo, who mm-hmm. prepares people for pageants, mm-hmm. and she was in pageants. I think that's like a little bit of a wink from the show, putting those two people on the same starting tribe. She's like, she says that people initially think she's like a mean girl, but she, you know, later wins them over. So I'm hoping that that first impression, if it's true on the show, doesn't hurt her. She's a little bit too religious that the people that I normally am drawn to, but that's probably a personal flaw of mine more than has anything to do with the ability to thrive on the show. But I think the main thing that worries me is that everyone who has basically been like smart and pretty for the last decade has been labeled as quote unquote Parvati 2.0 mm-hmm. and then targeted for that reason. Now, eventually, I think the memory of Parvati will fade. And maybe this archetype of person can once again shine, but I'm not sure the memory has faded yet. And so I worry that Tori will be targeted for that reason and will not let her psychoanalytics shine as much as they could otherwise shine if she had not had the problem of going after Parvati.
I can't believe that we've had 42 seasons of no beauty pageant people, and now we have two people and they're on the same drive.
I think the one thing working in Tori's favor is that she's a blonde, because mm-hmm. a lot of the people who are labeled as Parvati are normally brunettes. Like Alexa, I think if you played the game of Survivor, you'd be labeled as like a Parvati because it'd be like, oh no, she has brown hair and like she's like smart. Oh no, like what are we gonna do? Like that seems to be where it goes most of the time, because unfortunately or fortunately, however you really want to look at that, on the game of Survivor, a lot of people, they'll just assume if you look like somebody else who played Survivor, that is who they're immediately going to associate you with. And we've seen that year after year after year after year. It doesn't matter who it is. The first thing that always happens, the same thing with Drea right now. Everybody's sitting here going, she reminds me of Sydney. It's like, why? Because she's like an African-American who plays, like who's a fitness trainer. Like, is that why? Like, mm-hmm. but like that seems to be where people go. And I think that's the one thing working in Tori's favor is she has blonde hair. She can't possibly be Parvati. Boom. Got it. Done. Can't do it. So I actually really like Tori, and I was going to do Tori and Romeo on my 4-5 if they were both there. But now I don't even think I'm going to take Romeo because I'm just that petty.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about Tori is that she's got kind of this nerd thing going. Like she's like really, really into Harry Potter. So I think that, you know, she, even though she kind of comes across as like this Belle or whatever, I think that, you know, blonde or not, I think she's got enough nerdiness where maybe she could try to appeal to some of these other super fan personalities on the show. She's also apparently going to lie about her profession, which sometimes doesn't go very well, but I think in this case will be really interesting. I'm not sure I can remember a time where someone was hardcore exploiting their therapist background to like manipulate people and then lying about them themselves being a therapist. So yeah. I'll be very interested to see how that plays out and what profession she's going to pretend to be.
I'm interested. I like Tori a lot. I'm a big fan. Was definitely hoping to take her here at 4-5. Was hoping Vaughn was not going to have her.
I know. I was kind of shocked she made it this. She fell this far. Because I'm with you, Vaughn. I think anyone who is a therapist on Survivor, you are at such an advantage.
Such. Okay, so I want to say this. We still have not found Vaughn's landmine here. We still don't know where it is, and I think I know where it is. So I'm going to see what happens here, but I think I know where it is. Vaughn, we might have to do something special for you because Alexa or I is going to end up with two double points peoples, and you're going to end up with none. So we might have to figure out a way to kind of even that out. I so far have not gotten any type of special prop the way that you got with Lindsay fighting and Alexa got with Adam Klein and Zach. Nobody on my team has gotten anything like that yet.
Okay.
This is where, though, I do think that we're starting to drop off a little bit. And these are my last two picks, and then I'm probably going to get stuck with Lydia or Swati. I think that's where it's probably going, although Vaughn, based on what you just said before, maybe you're really high on one of those two, though I think you're more inclined to take Marianne or Mariah next. So I'm trying to, you know, figure out what you're going to do. So with these being my last two picks, I got to really kill it. And I don't think I can. That's the problem. I don't love what is presented before me. We just had a really strong female season and I have two men on my team and the two people I want to take are men. And I really don't like that because I feel like, you know, this newer game, maybe that's going to be something we see again right in the back-to-back season here. So all of that being said, I am going to start off with – I'm going to start off and just go completely out of left field for myself here. And I'm going to take Jenny at this spot. And I have no freaking clue why, other than once you took Tori, I'm not going to take Romeo and Tori anymore. So I'm like, well, maybe Romeo doesn't belong on my team. So here we go. I'm taking Jenny. And that's my fourth rounder. Vaughn, what do you think about Jenny?
I like Jenny. I have Jenny at 9, and it was because I was just really torn about her. You know, initially, I kind of thought, this is like a typical woman who is like in the corporate world. She calls herself direct. Other people call her a shark. She doesn't like arrogance. So I thought maybe, you know, she's one of these people that may come on the show and be too much of like a corporate director type, which they don't normally do very well. But then I actually watched her interviews and I found her a lot more likable and approachable than I was expecting based on reading her interviews. And she talks about how she claims to have a high emotional intelligence, which I think is probably one of the best traits you can have on Survivor. She claims to be a good listener. She is a super fan. So I don't know. She really is someone who I think I'm probably going to be ranking her at 9. I think I'm ready to be wrong about her in either direction. I could see her. It's coming across too corporate-y and being an early boot for someone, maybe standing out too much on that tribe and not connecting with others. But I could also see her as someone who could really be the first older. And I mean, she's in her early 40s, so she's hardly old, but the first older woman sort of strategist and in gamer that we've seen in a while. And so I could see either side. And so I think certainly in terms of draft pick value here in whatever round we're in, it's hard to fault it.
Yeah, that was 4. Alexa, neither one of us had a strong opinion on Jenny this whole time. What do you think about Jenny?
Yeah, I kind of the same as Vaughn. I think I like her. I think I don't see like I don't think she's going to be anything like Natalie Cole. Like when we think like corporate person, but I hope that people don't say like, oh, she's the quote unquote older woman. She's going to be she's going to be poor in challenges. She doesn't know the game. I don't think that's going to be true for either of those points. So I feel very average on her.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm in a position where my other person's on Vati. And do I really want to have 3 Vati people on the tribe that I said was the weakest? Do I really want to have 3 people from the tribe that I said was the weakest and would probably be the most screwed in this pre-merge? Who else could I take? Okay. I'm not going to get to pick again, so I'm just going to throw this out there. I like Mariah. I worry about the age thing a little bit more with her and her starting tribe. Same thing with Marianne, but the opposite. She's younger. I worry about that with her. So that's why I'm not going to take either one of them. Swati and Lydia, I'm really scared for, and I don't want to take a pick on them because I think I'm going to get whichever one I don't take if I were to take one. So with all of that being said, I'm going to take Daniel. And I think that Daniel, even though he's on Vati, this is the tribe I said was the weakest, and I just took three of them. I think that Daniel has some serious game, is super self-aware, which I think is huge in the game of Survivor. Will he be like Jacob levels of self-aware and self-deprecating that people are actually going to be turned off by it? I don't think so, just because of what his profession is. But getting him in the fifth round, I feel like it's
stealing him.
Yeah, I feel like it's a good spot to get him at. I feel like if like anything earlier, and this is just the place where, I don't know, I just got to take my chances. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take him. Alexa, I wanted to ask you, have we picked your second person? I know you had Jonathan at one. Did we pick your number two yet? Like the second, who your backup was?
I'm going to be honest. I kind of didn't formally do that.
Nice. All right. So Alexa didn't do that. So good thing Jonathan was the one who we picked. But yeah, so I'm going to go Daniel. That's my last pick of the draft. And then I'm just stuck with whoever you guys decide is mine. Vaughn, thoughts on Daniel?
I like Daniel. He's another person who I kind of have two minds about. So I ranked him 10, kind of right in the middle of my list. First of all, he's kind of too similar to me to really fully embrace. He's had a blood cancer, like me. He's went to a fancy law school, though he went to a fancier one. He was a law clerk for a federal judge, as was I. He's doing probably the strategy that I've always said I would do on Survivor, which is try to lean into like goofiness and try to be like funny more than be like smart. And I think he came up with this great, I mean, he's a pleasure to just listen to generally. Like he, I think is going to be a great narrator of the season either way. But he, you know, mentioned how Zeke, while brilliant, sort of led with his goofiness and could therefore lower his threat level a little bit. Whereas someone like Yule, who obviously, of course, won and Zeke didn't. But Yule was like someone who was obviously smart and whose personality was just like, okay, yeah, you're ripped, but you're like the golden god star. And I don't know if someone like Yule in a modern game of Survivor would do necessarily that well because he's so obviously a threat. And so I thought that was really astute for Daniel. But I mean, Daniel had a lot of, I know he listens to, or like he tuned into one of the y'all's podcasts, if that was really him lately. I also have a little bit of inside intel on Daniel, which is that because we're similar in age and have similar backgrounds. I actually have a couple of mutual friends with him.
Oh, nice.
And one of them told me that in law school that he was sort of quote unquote the mascot of the class, meaning that he was just like goofy, but like beloved by all. And so I think, you know, while you worry that like there's some Jacob Derwin downside to people of this archetype, I think that the whole mascot thing gives me a little bit of hope that maybe he'll be goofy and fun enough in a way that almost he'll be like likable and almost like a Rick Devins.
He's an uplifting type rather than like, yeah. Oh God, now it's almost like.
And instead of like a neurotic overplay, you know, that maybe he can kind of be a little bit like a life of the tribe. And so even though we do not agree politically, he describes himself as a good classical liberal, which almost made me vomit. I do like him. And I'm glad he listens to the podcast. I would have probably taken him if you had taken the person I am about to take. He was probably my backup option. Okay. So I like him. I hope he lasts a long way because I do think he's going to be a really entertaining presence on the show.
I think that bit of info that you have that makes me a lot higher on him because that tells me that his goofiness and silliness is not manufactured. And I don't think that's something that you can make up for 26 days. But to me, that is very genuine. So that's awesome. That's cool. I'm curious to see how he does now that you don't know him, but kind of know him.
I don't know him. Yeah. I mean, if he wants to DM me, I'll tell him who our mutual friends are or whatever. I don't want to blow anybody up on the podcast, but yeah, I think, you know, I think, it gave me a little bit of pause too. Cause when I first saw his profile, I have to admit, I was sort of, oh no, not like another like douchey young lawyer, you know, to make us.
There's
all
been none bad. Of those on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. But to make us all look bad. But I think, you know, I like him. I think it could go well. I did think it was interesting that he may be one of the first players in the history of the show to say adamantly that he doesn't think he can win. Yeah.
I like that. And for those wondering who are just listening, Alexa, they just scored a goal in a hockey game right behind you because what was that?
A truck or the New York Rangers hockey
game. Yeah, it was one or the other. That was a loud, long horn. Vaughn, who are you taking that you were so hopeful that I would not take?
So this is actually my number two pick. So I feel like all my strategy here hinges
Lydia
on
it is.
You not taking this person because I really withheld her for a long time, hoping that y'all would keep passing her up. And that is Marianne. the 24 seminary student from Ontario. Maybe I just have a weird Canadian thing these days, but I thought Marianne was delightful. I thought she popped off the screen. She was exuberant. She was joyful. She's got this kind of Davy comparison where she's obviously black, but she's kind of like a weird kid into video games. She compares herself to Davy. I think she's going to be an obvious fan favorite. She's littered throughout the promo videos, which don't always tell you anything, obviously. That can be hit or miss. But I think she's not going to win, but I think she's going to be a presence on our TV for a long time. I think people are going to really like her. Now, obviously, her age is probably below the viability threshold. She also said that she might be afraid to stab people in the back, so I worry that she lacks a bit of a killer instinct. But I'm obviously high on Omar. I think she's a natural early alliance partner from Omar on that tribe, being that they're both nerdy and both Canadian. And so since I'm a believer in Omar, I think I therefore have to be a believer in Marianne too. And I am happy to be picking her as my fifth player.
I think she has really fun energy. I think, and to your point, like, she is young, maybe doesn't have the killer instinct, but I think she'll definitely be a ton of fun. And I think not many people, I think, choose Davy as someone to compare themselves to. Everyone's like, I'm Tony or I'm Parvati. Picking Davy's a great choice because Davy is hilarious. He doesn't take himself seriously, and he's really good at Survivor.
And he would have won the game if he got to the end, and he was very close.
And I think that's the best tribe too, right? So I just kind of want as many pieces as I can from that yellow tribe because I think that they're going to do well. And also, like, this is a high variance game we're playing here, right? You have to be one of three to win. So if you try to go really safe and try to do like an even mix of all the tribes, you're not necessarily setting yourself up to be first. You're setting yourself up to be second.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to take a big leap and pick the tribes that you think are going to be bad. In this case, I think blue is bad and I think yellow is good. And if I'm wrong, then maybe I'm in third. But if I'm right, I'm in first and I'm shooting for first.
And I have a lot from green, which I said was the worst tribe on the first podcast we did. So that tells you everything you need to know about me. Marianne, I'm having a hard time with. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening with Marianne. I'm just trying to see where she can fit in on that tribe. That's all. I am not high. Who was your number one then? Like, who are you? Did you give us who your like winner of this season?
Yeah, Omar. Omar is my winner. Omar is the winner of the season. Yeah. So Omar had, that's why I have a War of the Turkey. I picked him first. He's my winner pick. I wasn't playing games with that. I went ahead and just took my winner pick, but I had Marianne second. I had High third and I had Tori fourth. So I ended up with my top four. So I cannot complain that I didn't pick the people who I thought were going to do well because of the way the draft went. If my team does poorly, it's because I'm bad.
Hey, I have my top five. I'm just saying. I have my top five people, and I know that I'm going to get the person I want at number six. So, Alexa, these are your final two picks. You're filling out your tribe. Can you step on the landmine that is Vaughn's top pick?
As soon as this ambulance goes by my apartment. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to pick Lydia for my first pick. I don't know. I think people, I don't really know why people, and I guess myself included, based on my choices, are down on her. She is somebody who seems pretty self-aware. She's somebody who I absolutely cannot relate to because I don't understand anything about Gen Z. And I think she is a walking Gen Z. But I think that is fascinating. And I think that I will enjoy watching her. She seems pretty funny. I don't necessarily know if she's going to win. I don't have the tribes up in front of me, so I don't know like what her age is like compared to the other people in her tribe. But I'm going to pick Lydia. Out of the group that was remaining, I felt the strongest about her. And then my second pick is Romeo. I think I'm kind of shocked that he fell this far. I think he's somebody who does have a lot of upside. I think he's someone similar to High, where there's a lot of like a lot of game knowledge. There's a lot of confidence, but I don't know. I think everyone is overconfident during pregame. So I don't necessarily know why he's sort of being targeted as the one that people are not super into.
You did not step on the landmine. So that means that I'm not going to pick the landmine. So Phil is going to get my cursed pick.
Nice. So I have two cursed picks. So I guess since I didn't get a thing, I guess this works out pretty fairly because you have a player who has a thing, Alexa has a player who has a thing, and I can still gain points off of those, but I have two cursed players. So I think that kind of equals
balances it out.
Yeah.
So Lydia, I had at six. So I was praying that somehow she was going to fall. I love Lydia. I didn't think I was going to be able to get that lucky to be able to like come back all the way around and get her last. and it did not indeed happen. But
Vaughn, I want to say this.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that you had Lydia as your whatever pick. I was just banking on nobody taking Lydia and me getting Lydia. So I'm not happy either.
Jokes on all of you.
Yeah.
I love her. I think she's a delight. I mean, you know, she like wants to play. She mentions this like hodgepodge of people she wants to play like, including Tom Westman, which is super funny, and mentions Debbie. She's obsessed with Kevin Bacon, but can't really explain why. She's going to be like the token funny person on the cast. Like her Twitter handle is Lydia Chlamydia.
It's amazing.
Like she is awesome. Now, obviously, like she's probably too young to win. I can't imagine a scenario where she would win, right? You know, she says she struggles to listen rather than talk. But I think the thing with Lydia is, I think after the first episode, we're going to know whether or not she's too weird. Because with this archetype, you can either be too weird like Debbie to really like thrive. Now, Debbie still made it pretty far, but to really like thrive as a real player in the game. Or from the same season, you can be more like Aubrey weird, which is like an appropriate level of weirdness in neuroses, you know, or like Hannah from Millennial versus Gen X, like weird, but an appropriate level that people liked for the most part. Right. And I don't think that we have enough to go on here with just like a 30-second interview and some random like typed out interviews to know whether Lydia is like comfortably within the normal range of weirdness. I think that she is though. And I think that she is going to be like one of I think she is a great candidate to be a breakout character on the season, even if she doesn't win and even if she doesn't make it deep. And so she's the kind of person we always talk about picking people in this fantasy game that you can root for and that you're going to like because it makes it more fun to watch. Because, you know, I'm competitive. The people that I pick today are going to be people that I'm rooting for hardcore the rest of the season. So you want to have people that you can root for. And so Lydia is someone who, had I picked her, I would love to root for. So I'm a little upset.
Yeah, and I will say we are always looking for the next Aubrey. Where people are always assumed to be the next Parvati, we are always – fans are doing the same thing with Aubrey. Who's going to be the next Aubrey? Who's going to be the next Aubrey? Who's going to be the next Aubrey? And we've seen this year after year after year. I mean, normally the underdog female character, whoever that might be, is normally somebody that the fans pull for. Whether that's even all the way back in season two when it was Elizabeth Hasselbeck, just being that she teamed up with Roger Bingham, Colleen Haskell the year before. These were more of like the America's Sweetheart, but it was also a new show that was supposed to be about survival. How is America's Sweetheart going to win this game? And now that's kind of, I think, evolved into the nerdier character. Evie was close, but Evie didn't last long enough to really take that on. Evie needed to go a couple more votes, have a little bit more autonomy in the post-merge, which she had almost none.
Yeah.
So I agree. Like, Lydia could be that person. Or Lydia could fizzle out, like so many people in this archetype have done before. Yeah. Because for every Aubrey, there's a Courtney Moon. And not that Courtney went home because she was getting voted out, although I think she would have anyway. She goes home because she breaks her wrist. She's still the first person out of that season.
Mm-hmm. Romeo is someone who I'm less sad about missing out on. But I do think that he still has upside too. I mean, he's someone who I think I'm content with underestimating him. I mean, I like his story a lot. He's like a super tiny gay Latino guy. I think his small stature could lower his threat level. You know, he's still a super fan. But you know, he only mentions like really cliche survivor players he wants to play like, which makes me a little bit skeptical that he's not a big super fan. He also says weird things like, I always find a way to get what I want, you know, and like he comes across at times like a little cold and kind of confrontational. I think he could end up being the physically weakest person on the physically weakest tribe. Mm. He also made, I think, what my pet peeve is, if I had to fill one of these out, is when people fill out their survivor bio and someone asks them who you're going to be like, and they say no one.
Yep, hate it.
This is super annoying. Obviously, there's going to be someone that you're at least somewhat similar to after 41 seasons. So he kind of grates on me a little bit. I think he's got early boot potential, but at the same time, he's got kind of a weird mystique about him where if he did go far, I don't think I would necessarily be shocked.
Yeah, I completely agree. Romeo, I almost took Romeo. Like I said, I would have done the Romeo Tory at the same time because that's what I wanted. But then once I couldn't get both of them, I said, well, screw it, Romeo. You're going to somebody else's house. I will say, Vaughn, out of these last two, there's one that I would much rather have than the other. And I'm curious to see if you're going to just pull a fast one on me and make me happy. But my gut is telling me that I'm going to get somebody that I'm just going to, hey, look, I'd be happy to root for the person that I think I'm about to get, but I don't think they're going to go very far. Vaughn, you're making the last pick.
I don't know who you're talking about here, but I obviously can't pick my cursed person. And so I am picking here, even though I don't have either of them very high at all. I had this person one spot or two spots ahead of Romeo. And that is Maria, the 47-year-old stay-at-home mom.
Boo. So I had Swati as my number 17. So
here's me. I indeed had Swati number one. My backup was Jackson, as I said.
Wow.
So first, Maria, I don't know. There's not much to go off here. I think as a last pick, the only thing I can kind of cling to is that maybe she could get dragged to the end like Heather and just accumulate some days for me. I just find her a little bit too momish, too much of a softie. She strikes me as someone, even though she has a powerful story, her brother was one of the first people to die from COVID, which, you know, hats off, I send my sympathy, obviously. I think that she's someone who's there a little bit more for the experience rather than the money. I was not heartened by, in one of her interviews, they asked, why will she win the game? And she stammered for like 8 seconds. even after the whole casting process, she didn't have a ready-made answer for that question, which worries me. So I do not think that she's got any win equity whatsoever. I think she does have early boot potential, which is why she's being picked in the last round. But I do not think she's quite as bad or as low of an expected
value. That's not good.
As my curse pick, who is now going to be joining Phil's team.
Yeah, so I get Swati. I had Swati at 17. It's funny because when we did the bootlist game, what did I put Swati at? I think I had her at like 7 or 8. Like I had her super, super high. This Ika tribe is weird for me. And when I look at this tribe, how does Swati make it past like the second boot if this tribe loses twice? I think ultimately what this is going to come down to is this tribe, it's going to be, what do we have in common? How is that going to help me survive? And then we must keep whoever is remotely strong on our tribe around. However, I do go back to this because of Edge of Extinction and because of how bad Wardog was at challenges, the tribes are much more even now. Like they do make sure that they're much more even through something. I don't know what it is, but they do something to make them much more even. And because of that, you might look at this tribe and say, well, they are weak. Something tells me that there's somebody on this tribe who's much stronger than we think they are because they don't have a big dude on this tribe. You know, like you think about Jonathan's on one, Mike, a firefighter, even if he's close to 60, is on another. There's no big dude on this tribe, but there's got to be somebody who can carry the weight for this tribe when push comes to shove. Maybe it is the fact that they're just the youngest tribe by a lot. Maybe that's helping them. But Swati being 19 years old, that's a 0% chance to win Survivor. I just have to hope that she goes the Julia Sokolowski route and survives, or the Natalie Tenorelli route. I don't care if she's a goat. Get to the end, get third place. I am totally fine with it because I will get a lot of points because I have two cursed picks and I am totally okay with that.
So the thing with Swati is, I mean, I will say, I don't want to be, you know, overly cruel here. I will say she was another person who I read her interview and was turned off. But then when I watched her, she actually does, her vibes are actually pretty calm, pretty mellow. She's not exuberant, but like I got a good vibe from her. She actually seemed a lot more likable in the sort of, you know, video interview. But what I was turned off by is like a few things. Like first, maybe I shouldn't hold this against her. Maybe this is actually the show's fault, but her occupation is listed as Ivy League student. I don't think we've ever seen that before. We've had plenty of students who went to one of the 8 Ivy League colleges. I don't think we've ever seen anyone described as an Ivy League student before, which if she had a role in picking that, that's a little cringy. She also says things like, you know, she got into every college she applied to because she worked hard. You know, that's just like a very like young person thing to say, right? Like when you get older, you get more perspective and you realize that a lot of the things that happened in your life were really kind of based on like luck or chance. But I think when you're that age, you think it's all you, you know, and everything that bad happened to you was your fault. And everything good that happened to you was because you worked hard and because you earned it. I think she still kind of has that, a little bit of that kind of youthful naivete. I also just, and this goes back to just kind of my own personal biases. She says that Elon Musk is her personal hero, which was like, she's obviously the tribe doesn't help her. I mean, but in her defense, like I would have been really cringe if I was on the show at 19 too. Mm-hmm. So I don't hold it against her. I do think that she's got more upside than just her interview may suggest. I will say this is the second person. I think now that we're entering like the Gen Z era, you have more and more people mentioning Harry Potter mm-hmm. in their bios. And it's like, I like Harry Potter, but like read another book, guys. Like,
you know who else loves Harry Potter, Vaughn?
Alexa?
No.
I do. But I don't think I would bring it up on Survivor.
It's Michelle Fitzgerald. I think she brought it up on it. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, hey, great series. Nothing against Harry Potter, but just read another book. I recommend A Confederacy of Dunces, actually, as High does. That's a good book. Read that one, and then you can be a little bit more interesting and a little bit less cliche when you go on Survivor and fill out your bio.
What's funny, Vaughn, is this is officially hitting the point of like when we would say, oh, I listen to Nirvana. Yeah. Like it's officially hitting that point. True. Where like our parents listened to Nirvana. We were babies when Nirvana was there. Then we wanted to be like, oh, we're different. So we like Nirvana. We like Pearl Jam, all those early 90s kind of grunge bands. And everybody who's 10, 15 years older than us is like, oh, God, like just leave it alone. And that's Harry Potter. We grew up with Harry Potter. These people were born right at the end of Harry Potter. So now every time Harry Potter is mentioned, we're just like, that doesn't make you unique. Everybody already loves Harry Potter. This isn't different. Kurt Cobain isn't your spirit animal. It feels the same way as that.
You're right. That's totally true. That's totally what's happening.
Here's my biggest thing with Swati. And I have become so biased because of the last like 6 months of my life, but I started working in college athletics in July. Because of that, pretty much everybody I work with is 18 to 22 years old. There are some who are light years ahead of that, but it's just, you hear some of the conversation, you're like, wow, I was like this at 22 too, but I forgot that I was like this. And I think that going to play a game like Survivor, no matter how beyond your years you are when you're that young, is so hard. It takes a special type of 18 to 22-year-old to win the game because there's just a level of life that you just can't have lived yet. And we saw Fabio use that to his advantage. Aris used that to his advantage. Now, he was a little bit older. But we've seen people use it to their advantage. But it is such a hard thing to do. And for every really good 19, 20, 21-year-old that we get on the show, like a Julia, we also get a Keith who leaves the game and is like, I don't care that I'm missing out on this opportunity. I don't feel like I am. There's a lot of really young people on this season. I feel like Zach has the better chance of being the young woohoo person than Swati does, which is why Swati was at my number 17.
I think that's right. I also think that we should add another point for any reference to Harry Potter, but except it should be negative one.
I'm down.
Negative one for anyone who mentions Harry Potter or Hermione Granger or Ron Weasley. Or
I'm just going to say Harry Potter series, negative one.
But do they ever say it on TV? Because I feel like that's a huge rights thing. Like the way that they mention people singing.
I feel like you could reference a book. I mean, I'm a lawyer. I should know this, but I don't.
You should know.
Have people mentioned books before on Survivor? I don't know.
I don't know. We always see it in the press. I don't think I've heard it on the show before, which is disappointing because I feel like this is actually the best one that we've come up with.
I agree. We'll throw it in there anyway, because if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. Who cares? My fiance just texted me and said, Harry Potter does make her unique. So this is what I'm
sorry, Rachel, you're not special.
Yeah, this is what I'm dealing with right now. But why don't we roll through these real quick again? So I put Harry Potter series negative one. Individual immunity winner gets 3 points. The winner of the game gets 10. Every day you're in the game is a half point. Correct idle play is 5. If you quit, it's negative 10. -2 for cursed players. The cursed players are Jonathan and Swati, who are both on my team. Roxroy, who's on Alexa's team. Anytime that Zach is compared to Adam Klein, that's 1 point for Zach and the other person who mentions it. Every person who gets in a fight with Lindsay gets 1 point. Every time Lindsay is in a fight with someone else, she gets half a point. And every reference to the Harry Potter series is -1. I have the teams at the bottom here, but I'm going to read through them. I'll read through mine and then everybody can do theirs. I have Drea, Jonathan, Mike, Jenny, Daniel, and Swati. Vaughn, you had the second pick. Do you remember who you have?
I do. I wrote it all down. So I have Omar, Lindsay, Hi, Tori, Marianne, and Maria. So I actually have four of the members of the Yellow Taku tribe and one of each for the other two.
Nice.
And I finished up with Zach, Roxroy, Chanel, Jackson, Lydia, and Romeo. Phil, when you get a chance, can you put all of those, not props, whatever we want to say, point getters into the our all documents thing?
Yes, I just shared this file with you, actually.
I know. Can you just put it in?
I will. Thank I will. I just wanted you to know that it was there so that it's not lost for when this eventually goes away. So, all right. Well, Vaughn, it was great having you on. It feels nice to have you back and see you being here. Maybe we'll have you on again later. It depends on if you're winning or not. That's really what it comes down to. If you're winning, I don't want to make promises. That's why I paused there. I don't want to say, Vaughn, can't wait to have you back on, because if you're winning, we're going to say, no way. We're not having you come on here.
I'm going to be extremely obnoxious if I'm running away with it, for sure.
Which you normally are. Did you enter a prop bet or a boot list or no?
No, I haven't entered anything.
Nice.
I can.
Hey, that's up to you. I think it's better.
I'm going to just win the fantasy game. He won't need anything else.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy to take the consolation prize. If somehow, some way my team starts doing badly, I'm happy to take the consolation prize of coming back on, especially after my legislative session is over in early April, because then I'll have nothing but time on my hands.
Yeah. Does anybody know when the finale of the season is going to be? I feel like it has totally thrown me off. It
might be like in June.
Like, I am so thrown off because of how late everything is.
Yeah. When is it?
I don't know, but this is such a late start. I feel like it has to be later. They're not going to be able to rush all this in.
Finale is going to be during Phil's honeymoon.
Yeah, well, it'll be 13 or 14 weeks, right? So, so that's like basically like 3.5 months. So it'll be in June.
Yeah, so that means I ain't going to be here. So Vaughn, you might be Phil on the end of that because I will be on my honeymoon from May 30th till June something. Well, the Thursday after what the finale would probably
going to miss the finale.
Probably. So
all right, we'll talk about that separately.
We'll figure it all out. I mean, I don't know. It starts on the 9th. It'll be close. I think it'll be close because they also might try to say, hey, let's get this in before Memorial Day, just because Survivor has this thing with holidays where they really want them in. Do they really want to? The finale right now with 13 weeks would line up to be June 1st. I think they probably find a way to get that in on May 25th. It's my prediction.
We shall see.
Either
way, I stand ready to take victory laps and to taunt.
That's what we want you here for. Alexa, I did move it over to our thing and it made everything look so dumb. I'm so mad. My nice pretty font that I specifically use on my Excel sheet, it didn't transfer that way. So now I'm sad.
Nothing worse than an ugly spreadsheet.
I know Alexa's
see it, but I guess
okay. We'll figure it out. But anyway, thank you, Vaughn, for coming on. Great to have you back. So happy that, you know, things kind of feel a little bit more normal, and hopefully we spice this up enough so that all three of us are super excited to follow along, and maybe we'll actually tweet out results for it this year, because I don't think we've ever done that. Alexa, I don't know if we've ever updated who actually won to anybody other than the three of us.
No, yeah, we'll follow that along this season.
Yeah, we'll see.
And do a Twitter poll, obviously, so everyone can register how much they love my team, because that will make me feel better. Though I actually think I do pretty poor in the Twitter polls.
Because nobody knows who you are.
Yeah, the commentary.
It's a popularity contest.
They seem to sleep on the Vaughn team, and then we exceed expectations every year.
I think they always pick Alexa because she is the most liked person on this podcast. So that's just
probably why. And I typically have the worst fantasy.
And typically finishes last. But hey, if everybody likes you, that's more important anyway. Yes, we will throw that on Twitter. Can we do that on Instagram yet, Alexa? Is that allowed?
No, I don't think we're like an influencer. So we can't we might be able to do polls. I don't know if we can type it all out. I'll see what I can do.
We'll see if we can do it. Alexa's about to become an influencer. That's a challenge accepted. Alexa, tell everybody what's going on and where they can find us and all that fun stuff. And then let's let Vaughn go to sleep.
Well, very excitingly, 1 week from yesterday is the Survivor premiere. It is going to be 2 hours. So Phil and I are going to be podcasting right after the episode at 10 o'clock Eastern time. We are also going to be special guest appearing on Adam Jumba's podcast, Reality Pop, for, I guess, from the 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. hour, right before the episode airs. So make sure to tune into that. We are not going to make any promises that we will have consistent guests throughout season 42, but we are trying to at least have someone for the premiere and for as long as we can. So stay tuned for more info on that. You guys know where to find us on social media. Become a patron. The Amazing Race just finished up last night. So we have some podcasts out on our Patreon for that. And Vaughn, I'm looking forward to podcasting with you during our finale and rubbing my team in your face because my team won.
I do not think that will happen, but I will look forward to that fictional world that we won't ever live in nonetheless.
Just like the last time Vaughn was on, right at the end of the podcast, he said there will never be a virus that closes things down.
I predicted that actually.
Yeah, I think
Germany will win. There will be a Canadian winner of season 41, and there will be a global pandemic. I don't know. You'd have to rerun the tape. I'm pretty sure.
This isn't good, Vaughn. Don't lead into the conspiracy theories. You work in politics. Don't let people think that there's a conspiracy theory. You knew it was coming.
Touche.
Yeah, I got to save you on that one, but. We'll see everybody next Wednesday night after the two-hour premiere. Let's call it the finale. We're really getting to the end.
It's over.
All right. See everybody later.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.